The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Hasn't it been wonderful to sing together, to worship together? I think music is one of the great gifts of God to humanity. It has the potential to move us, to move our emotions, to make us really stop and think or relax or enjoy. Who often finds themselves singing the lyrics of a song? Or whistling? Humming? There are some who you're sitting at the traffic lights and the music's on and suddenly you find yourself tapping away. Yeah, these are all different aspects of the ways that we can appreciate and enjoy music. This morning, I want to play two short pieces of music for you. When I say play, I'm not going to play them. I'm going to have them played for you. That would be much more enjoyable for you and me. The first piece that we're going to hear is from Mozart. It's Mozart's Piano Concerto, number 21 in C major. Why have I chosen this piece? Well, last century, one of the best-known theologians was a man called Karl Barth. And Karl Barth would wake up in the morning, he would have breakfast, he would read the newspaper, and then he would go to his study and listen to an hour of Mozart. He said for him it was a spiritual practice because he discovered that as he would listen to Mozart, he felt that all of creation was praising God. So let's listen to a little bit of Mozart. Did you hear God being praised through that? Right. So now let's listen to another song. It's called Praise. It was released earlier this year. It's been one of the most listened to Christian songs throughout this year. It's by Elevation Worship. Let's listen to Praise. These two songs are very different, aren't they? Very different pieces of music, and yet both of them are about praise. They're about praising God, but in very different ways. So why am I talking about songs and music? Well, at the moment, as Keith said, we're in a series on the book of Psalms, and the word Psalms means song. So essentially, the book of Psalms is a book of songs. And as we've been going through this series, we've seen there's an incredible diversity in the style of those songs. Some of them have been very joyful and upbeat. Some of them have been very somber, as people have lamented, as people have asked God tough questions about what's happening in their lives. We've seen some of these songs have been very liturgical and others are quite loud. Today's Psalm 47, some of the commentators say it's a raucous psalm. It's loud, it's vibrant, it's very expressive. And if we look at just the opening words of this psalm, Psalm 47 verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. And then we get down to verse 5, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Can you hear the volume in that? Just think about how loud that would have been when people here through this psalm are being commanded to clap their hands, to shout and play loud instruments like trumpets. It's all loud stuff. Some would say raucous. So who wrote this or who was it written for? It was written either by or for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were Levites. So in other words, that means our descendants of Levi, who was the first chief priest or great priest or holy priest of the nation of Israel. And the particular role of the sons of Korah was to oversee worship in the temple. Worship particularly through song and music. And so we don't know if the sons of Korah wrote this psalm or whether it was written for them, but what we do know is that their role was to facilitate worship through song and music, including this one. Which means that when people came into the temple, they were saying to them, clap your hands, shout, sing, with enthusiasm, with joy, with volume. And so when we look at verse 1, it is a command to clap, to shout, to cry for joy, but it's not just a command for individuals. It's not just a command for those who've gathered in the temple or for the whole nation of Israel. Look who it's for. It's for all you nations. The word nations here could also be people groups. All you people groups, everyone across the world, gather, clap your hands, shout to God with cries of joy. Once a year in Queensland, we get to hear people talk about the atmosphere. It's called State of Origin. And how many times do you hear the commentators of State of Origin say, the atmosphere here is electric? And that's just a few tens of thousands of people. Imagine what it's like to have billions of people of all nations across the world all together clapping their hands and shouting with joy. How much bigger and greater and more powerful is that? Now, have you ever been asked to do something and you sit there and go, why should I do that? I know that that's me, often at times. When we look at this psalm, we see the first commandment, our first directive, is to clap your hands and shout to God for joy. So verse 2 tells us why. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. In other words, the people of the earth will rejoice because the Lord Most High is great. He's the awesome King over all the earth. And so when God rules and reigns, when God's kingdom is prevailing, people's lives are better. And people rejoice in response to that. And not only do we see this pattern in verse 1 where it says to worship God and then it tells us why in verse 2, when we get into the second stanza from verse 6, we see it says sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. Why? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. And so what we're seeing here in verses 6 and 7 is a repetition of what we saw in verses 1 and 2. How often have we seen that in the Psalms? A pattern or language is repeated in order to emphasize it. We sing praises because God is King. That's what verse 2 and verse 7 are telling us. God is King. In fact, that's the big theme throughout this whole psalm. When we look at this in verse 2, we see that God is the great King over all the earth. In verse 6, we sing praises to our King. Very personal. He is our King. In verse 7, God is King of all the earth. And then in verse 8, it talks about God reigning and then God being seated on his holy throne. This whole psalm is about God is King. God is King over all of the earth. He made it, he reigns over it, he rules over it, and God created humanity as part of his kingdom. And God created humanity to live in that loving relationship with him, where Adam and Eve would know him and love him, where Adam and Eve would love one another. And that worked really well initially until sin entered into creation. And with sin came division. Division between humanity and God, division between Adam and Eve when they started their first blame game. And then we see that in the next generation, that division between two brothers led to one killing the other. We see within a number of generations, the sin had continued to grow and grow and grow, become so abhorrent to God. And yet in the midst of the depravity of all of that, God still had a plan to restore creation back to what he always intended it to be. God himself would come from heaven to earth and enter into the very mess of humanity to bring restoration once again. In Philippians chapter 2, we see this story played out. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Jesus descended from heaven down to earth, being made in human likeness. In fact, Luke chapter 2 tells us that he came as a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We see these words of the angels, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And so Jesus came as a baby. He came as a baby in human likeness. And although the angels were announcing that he was a baby, they also acknowledged that he was a Saviour, the Messiah, Lord, the long-awaited for one, fully human and yet also fully God. And see, this is just helping us to understand what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied 700 years earlier when we read from Isaiah chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." See, in this we're seeing that Jesus would come from heaven to earth. He would come as a child, as a baby. He'd be born of a woman in the same way as any child before him had, and every child since him has entered the world that same way. He was born and placed in a cradle, albeit a manger for a bed. And even as a baby, his role was fully known. He would be the Prince of Peace. He would be the one who would reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. And it says from now, that time on, and forever. In other words, for all of eternity. And this is what we celebrate as we come now into the time of Christmas. We celebrate because of the love and the humility of Jesus Christ, who descended from heaven down to earth in human likeness, as a baby. He grew. He grew and he experienced all that we experience, from the cradle to the grave, from joy to sorrow. He too faced the same issues and challenges that we face: temptation, tiredness, pain, abandonment. But as we go back to Philippians chapter 2, we see that Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, in his death, he revealed what Isaiah 9 was talking about government, about peace, of which there'd be no end. Because through his death on the cross, he defeated the power of sin and death that had come into the world to bring such division. Jesus defeated that in order to restore the kingdom of God, that creation would be restored back to what God always intended it to be. Jesus had descended from heaven to earth by taking the humble nature of a servant, dying in our place for our sin, and then in victory, he who had descended now ascended. He ascended from earth to heaven. He returned to heaven And this is alluded to in Psalm 47, verse 5. It says, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. And in that we can envisage the Jesus rising up. But for the Jews who were reading this passage, it spoke to them of something far deeper. It reminded them of the time when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. We read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where we, those of you familiar with this passage, know that David has wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He's wanted to bring it there that the presence of God would be in the capital city of the nation. And we see that David, wearing a linen ephod, was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. And so we're seeing now these parallels between when David is bringing the Ark or the presence of God into the city with now when we see God ascending from earth to heaven. And again, there are shouts of joy and there are sounds of trumpets as Jesus is enthroned at the right hand of God. See, we see this now in Philippians 2. Let's go back to that again. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, again, this is reinforcing Psalm 47. Because remember, Psalm 47 starts off by saying that all of the nations would worship him. All of the earth would praise him. And so we're now seeing in this passage here that every name, that his name is above every name, that every knee should bow, every tongue acknowledge, all peoples, all people groups will ultimately acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would shout that Jesus is the great King over all of the earth. Psalm 47 then prophesies, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. See, Jesus, who descended from heaven to earth, now ascends from earth to heaven, where he reigns over the nations, where he rules as King over the earth. And not just King. Verses 9 and 10 go on to speak about the nobles. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. So we're seeing now that people in positions of influence all over are the ones who have come to worship him. This psalm also takes us back. It takes us back to the time of Abraham. Because you see, God spoke to Abraham about his plans. That God himself would come through a descendant of Abraham to become part of humanity. In Genesis chapter 12, we see God speaking to Abraham. He says, I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So in other words, through Abraham, we saw that God would establish the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel would come the Messiah, God's own son. And yet God's plan was for far more than the nation of Israel. God would reach and embrace so much more. Psalm 47 makes it very clear that God's plan was for all the nations, all people, for all of the earth. That's why in verse 9 we read, the nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. Now again, if you're reading this in the context of Israel at the time that this was written, you'd be saying, okay, if it's talking about the people of the God of Abraham, he's only talking about Israel. But it's so much more than that. Because when Jesus died on the cross, and became king, he defeated the power of sin and death for all humanity. That's why we're reading Galatians 3 when it says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations we bless through you. We see this parallel now between what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, all peoples on earth we bless through you. And now what we're seeing in Galatians 3, all nations or all peoples will be blessed through you. Who will you be blessed through? Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Every one of you who has placed your faith in Jesus Christ is included in Psalm 47. Every one of you is called as part of the kingdom of God to worship the King, to glorify Him. Every one of you who's placed faith in Jesus Christ is a child of the King. What an incredible thought that is. And as a child of the King, you also receive an inheritance. That's what Psalm 47 tells us. He chose our inheritance for us. You receive an inheritance because Jesus is your King. God makes this inheritance available for you, and there's many different aspects to what that is. This morning, at this time, as we approach Christmas, I'm just going to mention three. His love, His joy, His peace. You see, as we approach Christmas, it's too easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and the eating and the drinking of Christmas. But today we are reminded that as we approach Christmas, God descended from heaven to earth to come into the mess of humanity, to restore the kingdom of God back to what God always intended it to be. But after his death on the cross, when he defeated sin and death that had caused all the problems that we face in this world, then Jesus ascended again from earth to heaven, where he reigns and rules as King over all of the earth. So when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive his blessings, the blessings that he offers us, the inheritance that he makes available for us, an inheritance that is for us here on earth now, as well as for all eternity from when he comes again and we continue on in the kingdom of God. We receive his inheritance of his love, his joy, and his peace. And you see, that's why this psalm is so exuberant. That's why this psalm calls us to clap, to shout, to play trumpets, to play musical instruments, to rejoice. Because Jesus is our King. And we're part of the kingdom, receiving and walking in inheritance. Isn't that a reason to clap? Isn't that a reason to sing? To be exuberant? That's what Psalm 47 is calling us to. And so, I'd like us to take a minute and to reflect on that. Take a minute and reflect on what is God saying to you about your response to Jesus as King. Just take a minute to stop and reflect. And as you reflect on the way that you worship, I invite you to reflect on how you would respond to this. What would you do differently this week? What action do you take in order to live out what this psalm is challenging us to live? Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Father God, we come this morning to sing your praises. We've come this morning to lift up your name through the songs that we've sung. But Lord, we know that worship is so much more than what we sing. It's who we are. It's the way we live our lives. The day-to-day expression of who we are should be a song of worship to you. Lord, I pray your blessings as we go into this week. That, Lord, we would live with the exuberance and the vibrance and the joy that this psalm speaks of. That as we reflect on Jesus descending from heaven to earth, and as we celebrate that at Christmas, may we also remember that he came as the Prince of Peace. That he came and was enthroned through his death on the cross. He was crowned as having ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and sits on a holy throne. This is the Jesus we worship. So, Lord God, I pray that we would bring glory and honor to our King through who we are, through how we live our lives. And so, Lord God, I pray your rich blessings. Lord, you've promised an inheritance to your children. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in our inheritance this week. Because, Lord, you make it very clear the kingdom of God is here now. Not yet in its fullness and completion, but it's here now. And therefore, we are the recipients of inheritance here now. And I pray, Lord, that we'd walk in that love and that joy and that peace and all of the other aspects of the wealth and the riches of the kingdom of God. And we'd walk in that. And live like that. And so, Lord, I pray your rich blessings over each and every one who's gathered here, who's live streaming it, who will view this later. As your children, may we bring you glory and honor. We thank you, our King, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.